Tonight, the United States is publicly resisting helping the International Monetary Fund in its efforts to expand its emergency bailout fund by a whopping $1 trillion. The IMF hopes to shield the rest of the world from Europe's economic woes and says it can do so with more cash. U.S. Treasury officials responded to the news of the IMF's latest easy money scheme by simply stating, quote, Europe has the capacity to solve its own problems. Almost sounds like Ron Paul rather than Tim Geithner. What's going on behind the scenes? Here to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business Stocks editor, and my colleague Elizabeth McDonald, EMAC, Robert Zimmerman, Democratic strategist, and Anthony Randazzo, Reason Foundation, director of economic research. All right, you got a kick out of my one-liner.
Judge, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but President Obama agrees with you.
All right, are you? Well, why do the Democrats agree that enough is enough with respect to the IMF? They like these big, cushy international monetary funds.
We like accountability, and we have a situation here where Europe can pay their own way to get out of their own situation, and they can restructure as they have to. That's what the president said. It's a Democratic position, and I hope the Republicans can step up and join us.
Is there a way that the bureaucrats and the socialists in Europe can get their hands on some American cash, notwithstanding President Obama and Tim Geithner?
Sure. It's all of the famous secret Fed loans to financial institutions here in the U.S. The Fed is giving money to the ECB, which is then giving that money, loaning that money for really cheap to European banks, which then can buy the debt of European countries. That's U.S. money that winds up bailing out European countries.
See, if President Obama went along with that audit the Fed stuff that Ron Paul likes, we might be able to know what's going on. Do those people in Europe think that they can just spend their way out of these problems? Is the culture in Europe such that it will never change until there's a revolution?
I don't know about a revolution, but that has been the culture, and it has been the culture with the IMF bailouts dating back to the 70s when, you know, the IMF bailed out the UK and Italy. It's basically bailing out tax and spending their way to prosperity kind of ideologies. And also that happened under a Republican administration, also a Republican administration in the 80s when the IMF bailed out Latin America, also tax and spend. We've got a malfunctioning bond market right now. We've got refis coming down for government bonds. Europe is chasing its own tails. I don't think U.S. government money should be in this until they do abide by what the IMF has done in the past. Restructure. They did it with Indonesia and Thailand.
Got it. Does Barack Obama, as you know him, have the chutzpah to call up Ben Bernanke and say, no, don't do what Anthony Randazzo fears that you might do. Don't give those bureaucrats federal cash.
I don't speak for Barack Obama. I wouldn't pretend to try to read his mind.
But as you know him.
As I know him, his position's really clear. And I'm not one, with all due respect, for conspiracy theories, especially that can't be proved.
Listen, how can you say this?
The Fed gives money to European banks.
How can you say his position is clear? His position has always been, I'll make these big, bold statements and then fill in the blanks later.
That's not his position at all. His position on this has been simply...
His position is to raise funding for the IMF from the U.S.
His position has been Europe is not...
When I see it, I will believe it.
You can Google it. It's a new invention.
Robert, his position is Europe can take care of its own problems.
More than that, we are not putting U.S. money into the IMF to bail out Europe. It's Google. I'll share it with you later.
Well, the GOP is fighting that, but we know
that the president can't control the Fed. Switching gears. Last night, I've been ranting and raving about this for 2 days. Republicans held a symbolic vote rejecting the president's request to increase our debt ceiling to the tune of another $1.2 trillion. Of course, they could afford to stand on principle this time, since the debt deal they brokered in August guaranteed that no matter what happens in their phony vote, the president will be able to raise the debt cap anyway. I'm not talking about the merits of raising debt. We went through that in August. I'm talking about the charade of last night. How can the House of Representatives pull this fast one on us to make us think they're against something after they were in favor of it?
They can't pull a fast one on any of us because we know that vote was a fraud. And very frankly, the whole debt ceiling debacle, the whole debt ceiling negotiation and the super committee was a disgrace. And the bottom line is we're going to deal with the debt ceiling next year. And that's when really the rubber meets the road and we focus on governing by raising the debt ceiling.
What can we do here for people like you and I and most people watching us, Anthony, who believe that the government will collapse if it continues to borrow a trillion more a year and spend the trillion a year more than it takes in? How can we stop this?
The only way is different people in Washington. All the arguments are out there and everybody in Capitol Hill has heard arguments from both sides. And the simple reality is that the people who are making the ultimate decisions are making political decisions. decisions, and they are ignoring the reality of our unsustainable debt.
Emac, were you as scandalized as I was that so many Republicans who went along with the Democratic debt increase in August concocted this phony charade last night so that
they
could claim to be against big government, whereas in reality they have funded big government?
Yeah, the hypocrisy of it is always quite alarming. And, you know, it's so easy to be patriotic when you're spending other people's money. But listen, the liabilities of the government for Social Security, Medicare, $65 trillion, that's about the size of the entire planet's GDP.
Right.
And I'll tell you something, it's called keep irrational hope alive when you think you can spend like tax and spend your way to spend your way to prosperity. If that were the way to go, Zimbabwe would be a AAA country and the Soviet Union
Hang on, Robert.
Okay,
are these type of games where members of Congress can hold symbolic votes so they can go home and say, see, I was against the debt ceiling. And we all know they really voted in favor of it. Is this typical of Washington? Is it worse today under Barack Obama? Or is this the way government has always
been? First of all, symbolic votes are institutional in the Congress.
Okay.
And they've always been posturing. But now it's more severe under John Boehner as Speaker of the House.
Okay.
And more symbolic because it's about exploiting and about exploiting a crisis.
Is this symbolic vote going to happen in the Senate as well?
Oh, I think so. The reality is, well, I'm not even sure it's going to come to a vote in the Senate. The bottom line is this. We talk a lot about patriotism, but America not paying its bills. That's what's unpatriotic.
Well, you know, it's called overspending. No, it's
supersize me debt
is unpatriotic.
No,
Anthony, I'll give you the last word. We got about 20 seconds.
We are completely dependent right now on the fact that U.S. treasuries are still attractive because everybody else is in crisis. The moment that the U.S. treasury is unattractive, then this whole house of cards falls.
Anthony Randazzo, Robert Zimmerman, my favorite EMAC. Thank you very much for joining us, guys.